The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com.
Is up. We're going to show giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio. I'm your host, Jason Ball, certified financial planner, one of the only independent commission-free financial advisors in Rutherford County. For all about me, check out Jason Qualls, CFP.com. It's JasonQualls, CFP.com. Moving to the first topic of today, appreciate you joining us. Let's talk about, are you rich? Are you wealthy? How do you measure up? Obviously, it's very subjective. This is from an article in Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. Average net worth by age. Have you surpassed the average net worth of your peers? Are you rich? The average net worth by age can help you benchmark your financial success against your peers and aid in retirement planning. I'm not really sure how it aids in retirement planning, but okay. But when most people hear the term net worth, their thoughts turn to the richest people, billionaires, Warren Buffett. And they even mentioned Taylor Swift. Regular folks with 401ks, investment portfolios, and real estate holdings have a net worth too. What's your net worth? It's your assets minus your debts. That's your basically your net worth. So you basically tally up everything that you own that has any significant value, subtract any liabilities or debts that you have, and that would be your net worth. For example, if you have $500,000 in your 401k, you own a home that's worth $500,000. You have a $100,000 car, so you have assets right around about $1.1 million to be exact. Let's say you owe $400,000 on your house, $50,000 on the car, $10,000 in credit cards. That equals $460,000 in liabilities or debts. You just do simple subtraction. You have a net worth of about $640,000 in that example. So what is the average net worth by age? If you're younger than 35, the average net worth is about $183,000. If you're 35 to age 44, average net worth is $549,000. Let me dig here. Let's see how much this would include. Probably your home. Homes are usually your biggest asset, right? Because that's, I'm not saying it's a bad number, but I'm a little surprised that the average net worth for age 35 to 44 is over $500,000. And that's almost $1 million from age 45 to 54. And then it just actually goes up from there and never starts to decrease until you get 75 or older. That is an interesting statistic. Age 65 to 74, the average net worth is right around $1.8 million. And then where it starts to decrease is age 75 or older, the average net worth is $1.6 million. Average net worth of all ages is right around $1 million. You see a lot of articles, at least I have in the past, about Americans aren't savers, most people have debt, and half of American taxpayers don't pay any federal income tax. All these numbers that are true about the demographics related to income and savings, the average just making a title line up here, but I've seen it a couple times. The average person, most people don't even have $1,000 in cash in the bank. So that's why I'm surprised by these numbers, because again, the average net worth is $1 million of all ages. And got at least $500,000 average net worth if you're age 35 to 44. Does it really impact your retirement planning? Is there something to strive for? Well, of course, if you're like, hey, it's all about net worth, you can strive for that. But it used to be that people thought there was a magic retirement number. You need X. Everyone needs to have X. Well, it's all subjective because it's based on what you require. is based on really how much you need to have saved is based on how much income you need per month. And the example I would say you want $3,000 per month, then that's $36,000 per year. So we could do a quick calculation and just say, well, what do we need in assets? $800,000 would be the minimum, I would say, to produce that amount, $36,000 a month. And that would be pre-tax. So, and depending on your tax situation and your other income sources, that would not be net of taxes. So you may need $3,000 net of taxes. So if you're looking for about a $3,000 a month income, you need about $1 million. So I don't care what your net worth is. You need about $1 million saved. If you want to say, I need $6,000 a month, well, double it. You need about $2 million. It all has a lot of factors that go into this. We're not even discussing how long you're going to live, inflation, taxes, which you did cover a little bit of. Those are all part of the equation of the financial planning decision to see if you have enough to retire. And I don't know if people even consider a lot of those factors. They just go get a calculator online, or they'll just read an article and say everybody needs to have, you know, this ghost amount of money that's not applicable to them. And they kind of get that in their head. But it's really a case by – it's a unique calculation. You may say, well, I have a pension, I have Social Security, and then – let's say you have those things. Let's say it's $2,000 a month from pension and Social Security, and that would probably be low when I was making up numbers there. And you needed an additional $1,000 per month to live, to keep your current lifestyle. Well, then you wouldn't need, you know, $800,000 to $1 million to generate that. You would need significantly less because you've had to factor in other income sources. But you can't – the biggest thing – I don't know if it's talked about in the same way that it used to be. Is longevity, right? And I don't think longevity in this country has decreased, but it could have. But I think it's been increasing every year, right? People are living longer. Healthcare has gotten substantially better in the last, it could be debated, right? But that's really the theory behind it, is that we're living longer. So you need to plan your retirement longer. It also depends on what age you retire. If you're retiring at age 70, do you really need to plan a 30-year retirement? Well, maybe if your family history, so if everybody in your family lives to age 100, possibly. But I would say, probably not. 15, 20-year retirement span if you're working until age 70. But if you're retiring at age 55, then you may have to have a 40-year time span. And all those figures with taxes and inflation, and we're not even talking about rates of return assumptions here, your withdrawal rate on your assets, all of these things factor in to figuring out how much retirement assets you need to be financially independent. That is the way that's what I would categorize as being the most important factor in personal finance. It's not net worth. It's are you financially independent? Because if you can say I'm financially independent, it means you can choose to work, you can choose not to work, you can work part-time, you can work full-time, you could travel. Now, I'm not with everything has limits, right? I'm not saying, well, financial independence means you're a billionaire. It doesn't matter what you spend. I'm saying, well, you can just do pretty much anything you want within reason, and you don't have to rethink about it. You know, you're not blowing money, but that's what I would call financial independent, and that would be the bigger factor in financial planning to me. All right, after the break, we're going to continue this great discussion on Financial Coaching Radio. If you want to chime in, click email the show at financialcoachingradio.com.
Down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're going to let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
Recent reports show that half of Americans don't have any of the most basic estate planning documents, like a will or powers of attorney. Folks, if you're married or have children, you can't put this off any longer. Call John Baker, estate planning attorney, right now at 896-5621. As a husband, wife, mother, or father, you owe it to your loved ones to make sure your estate plan is in order. So call John Baker at 896-5621 or go to bakercounsel.com.
Would you like your business to be more efficient? Well-organized financial records are the foundation of any successful business. Take an advantage over your competition today by calling Tutherow Hell & Welch CPAs at 848-1072. They can provide you with expert bookkeeping, payroll services, tax planning, and much, much more. Go to thwcpa.com or call them at 848-1072 today. Get a second opinion. Get a second opinion. Get a second opinion. I'm Jason Qualls, commission-free certified financial planner. I can't stress enough how important it is for you to get a second opinion on your investments and financial plan. Unfortunately, since most financial advisors care more about selling you financial products than providing objective advice, it can be hard for you to know who has your best interests in mind. Call me, Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner, for a free no-obligation investment review at 878-2134 or go to my website, jasonquallscfp.com.
Take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
Welcome back to the show. This is Financial Coaching Radio with you every Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock, right here on WGNS. Online anytime, anywhere. Financial Coaching Radio.com. We just had a recent Federal Reserve meeting. Is anyone tired of hearing about the Federal Reserve? I kind of am. So what we knew to get interest rates coming down. I don't know if that's actually going to happen anytime soon. They refrained from changing the federal funds rate, citing an increasing uncertainty on the economic outlook as the reason for the wait and see approach. After ending 2024 with three consecutive interest rate cuts, the Fed has refrained from making rate cuts for the first four meetings in 2025. What is the good news of that? Well, higher interest rates on savings accounts, higher interest rates on money market accounts. What's the bad news? Higher interest rates on cars and mortgages. Core inflation is around 2.8%. It's right around the historical average. While lower than expected, the recent inflation report didn't include how tariffs will influence the data. So here's some interest rates on high-yield savings accounts. And I'm not condoning or suggesting these are the ones. I'll just throw it out there. I like Ally Bank. They are no longer the highest rate. They're close. Right around 4%, depends on what's happening in the interest rate situation. Capital One is also another one. I like them. I've been using them. Do I need to go out and chase down another quarter point? Maybe. It's just not that important at this time. But these are some of the highest interest rate savings accounts that are on record. Newtek Bank, minimum deposit, zero. Interest rate, 4.35%. Bread Savings, same. These are all right on 4.3, 4.25. My Banking Direct, don't even know who these people are. Poppy Bank. I like the Ally. I like the Capital One. If you have a banking relationship with your local bank, it's if they're not giving you these high interest rates, because there's nothing worse, in my opinion, than changing banks. And it's a hassle. And it's because we have online bill pay and things are coming out of your account. And what do you have? Checks. You got to all that stuff. It's just a hassle. So if your local bank is not giving you a high interest savings account where you park your emergency fund, your cushion, things like that, your rainy day fund, what have you, have a discussion with them. Go in there and say, look, I could move my savings to this other bank. I really don't want to do that. Can you give me a competitive rate based on what everybody else is doing? And most of the time, I think they'll say, yeah, you know what? Now, should you have to ask them? No, I don't think. But they're not going to, if they're not offering it and trying to be competitive in that market, you may have to ask, or you may have to leave that bank, at least for your emergency fund. You may keep your checking there, but your lazy, rainy day cushion emergency fund, you may keep somewhere else. But you should be getting around 4.5% on these money market accounts. They just said inflation now, what was 7, 8, 9% at one point is where inflation was. Now it's right around 3%, as I said. So you're beating the rate of inflation. And that's the main thing. You're not going backwards. And I think that is one thing that people forget about. And we didn't really, I don't know if we talked about it in the last segment. We talked about retirement and financial independence, but inflation is a figure. It's the decreasing of your purchasing power. And what that really, just think of like, what did, you know, a stamp cost 20 years ago? What does it cost today? That's inflation. What did a gallon of milk cost 20 years ago? What does it cost today? The price change that you're seeing on things that we have to have and need and things we buy every day, that would be your inflation. So you won't, if you're having money just sitting there earning 0%, you're basically losing 3% return every year. And it may make you feel safe, quote unquote. You're not taking any risk, but you actually are. You have inflation risk. So you want to make sure wherever you're getting the at least the rate of inflation. Does that mean every dollar of cash has to be? No, it doesn't mean to be so that strict with it. But if you have $30,000 in your emergency fund, $100,000, whatever, maybe you keep cash in your investment accounts for your investment allocation strategy or for a 1 year's worth of income or a couple of years' worth, whatever. Everyone's situation is slightly different. If it's a significant amount, I think you need to be looking for those fixed rates of interest right around that 4% mark. People also ask, well, should I use that and pay off debt? Well, of course. If you have credit cards or you have loans that are greater than the rate that you're earning at your bank, you probably need to consider paying those off. So if you have a 10% car loan and you have a 3% money market account, see, that's a ridiculous spread. Now, everyone's unique. We have a lot of other factors that could go into that decision of paying off debt. But certainly, you have to think about those things. Don't be having $100,000 in the bank earning nothing while you have $25,000 of credit card debt that's costing you 25-30%. That is silliness. You should just pay that off. And the lower the interest rate on your debts, you may make a case to keep those. But certainly, you want to release the rate of inflation. So if you're not doing that now, I suggest you do it. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll come back and we'll discuss a little bit about estate planning, where you need to be, some 10 tips in that arena. And keep it locked in right here on WGNS. See you in just a bit.
Have a financial plan? I'm not talking about a worthless binder full of pretty charts and graphs. Are you certain you're on track to reach all your financial goals? A comprehensive financial plan is about so much more than just your IRA and mutual funds. It involves risk management, tax planning, professional investment management, retirement, and estate planning. Make sure your entire financial life is in order by calling me, Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner at 878-2134 or go to my website, jasonquallscfp.com.
Did you know that the U.S. tax code has over 70,000 pages? This is precisely why you must have a tax expert on your team. The folks at TH&W CPAs have been providing their expertise to individuals and businesses in Middle Tennessee for over 50 years. And now they have an office right here in Murfreesboro. Call Kevin Sizemore today with TH&W CPAs at 848-1072. That's 848-1072 or online at thwcpa.com.
Welcome back to the One Show, giving you the truth about personal finance, no books to sell, live event tickets to push. We'll leave that to the other show. I'm Jason Qualls, certified financial planner, jasonquallscfp.com for All About Me. We talk about it very, very regularly on Financial Coaching Radio. And it's a basic aspect of comprehensive financial planning. It's one that if you overlook it or don't do it, it could be very costly for those you leave behind. Could even be costly for you while you're alive if you do not have a proper estate plan. Most people think it's all about death. It's not. It's also about who could make decisions for you if you're not able, if you're disabled in any capacity. So there's some things you have to kind of take care of in your estate plan. And it's like anything else. It's going to vary, right? Some people need a trust. Some people don't. Some people are okay with a will and just a power. You know, it's all different, but these talking about these things, getting yourself more knowledgeable, you can say, hey, you know, I got to take this step in the right direction to get this taken care of. And I'm sure it's been said before, but it's one of the things. Estate planning is not about you, really. It's about those that you care about. But, of course, creating a will would be the cornerstone of most people's estate plan. What does a will do? Well, it basically tells those you leave behind what you want to have happen to your stuff. Who gets what? And it may be as simple as everything goes to my spouse, and that's fine. But it also will name an executor, and that is someone who's going to handle those affairs and settle up everything if something were to happen to you. If you have minor children, you may have to name guardians for those minor children in your will. You can put pretty much any wish that you have there, right? You can be very, very detailed. It can be very, very plain. But having the document is important, because if you don't, and you have assets, and this assets that aren't passed along through beneficiary, then the state will come in and they will divvy up your estate based on the laws that they have. And that may or may not be what you want to happen. That is the main core of it. You don't want someone to make those decisions for you because you didn't get a simple basic document. And the way technology is today, and I'm not condoning this, I think if you have any assets at all, you need to be consulting with a professional. But if you're just like, I'm not going to do it, I want the easy, quick way, there's a lot of services today where you can get a basic will. And I'm not saying it's not suggesting that's right, but if it's better than nothing in some cases. Living trust may be a part of someone's estate plan. That's going to be dictated by all the other stuff going on in your situation. I would say in this state of Tennessee, some people have had bad experiences with probate court, and that's what you would go through. Your loved ones would go through if you had assets and you died with a will, or even if you didn't die with a will. A trust could help you avoid probate. That also would be very helpful if you had property in multiple states. So you had a home in Tennessee, maybe a condo in Florida, whatever, or maybe a lake house, whatever. And it's in different states. You don't want to have your heirs or your executor be going to all these different states to settle up your affairs. What a nightmare that would be. There also could be some tax planning things that revolve around your trust. So it's not an either or. It is what is right for you and what is right for someone else could be different. Sometimes it's a will-based plan. Sometimes it's a trust-based plan. Sometimes you'll have a trust and a will, but rarely you would need that. That is just kind of extra fallover stuff. Powers of attorney. John Baker and I have talked about this several times. That just is your name. It sounds kind of complicated. It sounds kind of threatening to think to some. Power of attorney. What that means is you're naming ahead of time. You're naming someone who is going to make financial decisions for you. If you cannot, if you're mentally incapacitated, maybe you're disabled, you just cannot handle your financial affairs for whatever reason, you have named a person you want to do so. And this is probably the most important document. I don't care if you're 18 or you're 78. It is one of the most important documents in a financial plan, in an estate plan, is the power of attorney. And you got to make those decisions. You got to name them ahead of time. Because if you're sitting there and you're like, oh, we got to get mom or dad a power of attorney, and they have some dementia, it could be argued that they're not in the sound mind and body to make those decisions. Then you're looking at a court proceeding to even get conservatorship or whatever. Don't do that. Don't do that to your peoples. Get the document. Get a power of attorney. Same thing. So if you want the basic, plain vanilla, got to have it, at least these three documents, it's going to be your will, your financial power of attorney, and your health care power of attorney. It's the same thing. Who's going to make health care decisions for you if you cannot make those decisions? And people probably are more worried about money issues, and the finance power of attorney resonates more with most people. But you want to be telling people and have it written out. Oh, how do you feel about life support? How do you feel about being on a ventilator? How do you feel about being hooked up to machines if you have an issue? And all is very situation-based, right? If there's a chance you could improve and return to a quality of life, then you may temporarily want those things, but you may not. You have to name those wishes and kind of lay it out for those people so they don't have to wonder what you would have wished. And it could keep, you know, just the disagreements in families down. Because if you're talking about a parent, maybe a daughter wants things one way, a son wants things another way, and you're like, well, this isn't really about what we want. It's about what the document has told us that they wanted. So a healthcare power of attorney is pretty powerful as well. End of life in case of an emergency. Now, this one is a little bit more on the organization side. Being organized, it cannot be overstated here. If you're going to have these types of estate planning documents, let's keep them together. Let's keep things that are needed, passwords, life insurance policies, things of that nature should be. Would you have to create this, a tab binder? And be that they don't have to. It would be obviously on the plus side if you could, but it's going to help those that you leave behind know where everything is and get your affairs settled quickly. It makes it easy for them. If you've ever handled someone's estate, depending on how things were set up before they died, the harder it could be to get all the affairs handled, especially when we're dealing with major assets that have to pass through an estate planning document. Don't forget to plan for your digital assets, your social media accounts, and maybe you have crypto. You cannot forget those. They cannot forget the things that you have in your life that have some level of value that other people don't have access to. You just kind of take for granted that you log in through your smartphone every day. So have a plan for your digital assets. Plan for your long-term care. This one's a tough one, but what does that mean? It means, well, if we get sick enough or we need someone to come into our home and help us, or help the spouse, or we have to go to an assisted living facility, or we have to go to a full-blown nursing home, we've got to have an idea of how we're paying for it and what the risk is in your situation. Obviously, if you go to a nursing home for 10 years, that would probably break 95% of people in this country, because $10,000 a month for that long would just really eat into a nest egg. Of course, there's long-term care insurance. There's hybrid products. I'm not going to get in a deep dive on those things, but making sure we're aware of the risk and planning for it is the main thing. And you can't plan for every scenario, but you can just do a pretty good job of covering some of the bases. Make sure you have your funeral and burial preferences. Like someone know that. Put it in writing. Have it be a part of your will, or have it be an addendum, or whatever. You can't be leaving people, well, do they want to be cremated, or do they want to have whatever. You can be as detailed as you want there. That is a key thing you need to be discussing and have, I think, at least in a one-page document. So here's what I want to have happen. A couple last but not least things. Once you've got everything mapped out and planned out, share those things with your family, so they're not kind of blind. So, oh my God, I can't believe that's what they wanted when something unexpected happens. Talk to your family, share with them, this is what I'm doing, this is the plan, here's how it's going to work. You can be mad or you can be happy. It doesn't really impact me on that side, but talk to your family, share your wishes. And of course, everyone would know this upcoming last estate planning tip, and that would be, don't forget to review and update your plans if something changes. If you get married, you have a child, you get a divorce, you sell a house, you buy a house, major life events. Just think of any major life event. That's the time to go, should we be updating our estate plan? It may not need me to do anything, but it's just something to consider. We have to keep it in the back of our mind. It's not, you can't get a will and say, well, not touch it for 50 or 60 years and not think that things are going to change. That's not how it works in the real world. All right, this is Financial Coaching Radio. I'm Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner, Jason Qualls, CFP. .com for all about me. I'm going to take a short break. I'll be back at you right after this.
on the road again. Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special.
How much are your investments costing you each year? Most people don't have a clue. Why is this extremely important? Because overpaying by just 1% a year in fees and expenses can reduce your account balance at retirement by 28%. You heard me right. 28% less at retirement. I'm commission-free, certified financial planner, Jason Qualls. I don't sell financial products. I don't accept commissions or kickbacks from investment companies. Give me a call today for a free unbiased investment review at 878-2134 or visit my website, jasonquallscfp.com.
Buying a house is stressful, and so is shopping for a mortgage. Take my advice and get a second opinion on the mortgage for your new home or your refinance. Not all banks and mortgage companies are created equal. Trust me on this. Call my friend Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885. Great team, great process, and the best rates. Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885.
Welcome back to the show. As we wrap things up, remind you, make sure you're getting a second opinion on all things that are major in your life, whether it be legal, estate planning, tax planning, certainly financial planning, major purchases, mortgages. Now, always great to get other opinions, but at the helm of all of that stuff, you need to be working with an independent, fee-only certified financial planner. What does independent mean? Means they're not working for a huge financial company. They're not working for a bank. They're not working for a firm. You're like, well, why is that a good thing? Because firms are looking out for their best interest typically. They're not really designed to serve your best interest. So the independent part allows an advisor to do what they believe, and you may consider what's in your best interest. The fee-only part of that second opinion is that's a compensation structure. Just means whatever you decide to compensate the advisor, however you decide to compensate them, that fee should be the only compensation they're receiving. I mean, they're not receiving more by recommending you do this over that, or selling products, or getting a commission, or getting a kickback, or getting a referral fee. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things as far as capitalistic structure goes. It's just a conflict of interest, and you don't want to have someone that has a conflict of interest with you. And the last part, certified financial planner. That just means they've been trained. They know, they're supposed to know financial planning. Anyone can call themselves an advisor. Anyone can call themselves a wealth manager or whatever title. That's just a title. That doesn't mean they have any competency in comprehensive financial planning. So get a second opinion from an independent fee-only certified financial planner. Go to jasonquallscfp.com. jasonquallscfp.com for more. Listen to the show anytime, anywhere at financialcoachingradio.com. I appreciate you listening today and every day. Be back at you next time. Same channel right here on WGNS. See you later.